Thank you for clicking download, or hitting the play button if you're listening to this via Doom Radio. This is Tango TV, and you join us now inside the studio for the 6th episode of Program B. We had originally intended this discussion to be one of the modern Doom and the like, but we eventually buckled under the weight of topical indifference and gave way to talk of something a little more plain to opinion. A chat wagon for strummers and irate mathematicians. That's right. It's all about music and Doom, in case I didn't make it obvious enough. Joining us are two highly successful figures in the field, the increasingly prominent Paddock of Perth, and the undisputed overseer of the world-renowned Sheeple Emporium and Toxic Map Dictatorship.
Music is really a critical aspect of Doom, in my opinion. You know, thinking back to the original IWADs and, you know, a lot of classic map sets, you always think about the tracks that were used for certain levels and what those tracks do to the level, whether they enhance or detract from it. So I thought it'd be a good idea for us to talk about music and its relation to Doom's gameplay. And with us today, we have SL4TM and Jimmy, who are two very prolific musicians.
Especially in the art of Mexican soap opera music.
Oh, absolutely, Essel. Essel is just, I mean, Telemundo could hire him.
I've actually been working on a contract with them. I didn't want to say anything, but you forced my hand.
That joke turned sound pretty quickly, Tonsman.
It did. Excellent. That'll be the primary discussion for today. And But right off the bat,
all right.
Can we all agree that Doom would not be the same without its soundtrack?
Well, I mean, I think that pretty much goes without saying, just given, like, even if you look into any of the billions of discussions that there have been on the forums over the years about, you know, like, the PlayStation Doom versus Doom 64 versus the PC game, and just, I mean, there are some people who get really, really intense in their opinions one way or the other about which music suits the game, and just generally that it totally changes the atmosphere of the game for them.
Absolutely, and I would agree with that. And personally, I would say that there is no substitute for the original soundtrack. That that is Doom, and changing that up, it completely removes a feel. Like, you just, you know, Hanger has to have Hanger's music, you know.
Yeah.
You know, this is a slight confession, actually. I've just realized this now that we're talking about this topic. Don't worry, it's not that massive. I'm not actually sure I like Doom's soundtrack that much. I mean, I clearly am quite connected to it. If I heard it for the first time now, I'm not sure I would liken to it. I'm perhaps a certain few numbers, but I guess the answer is, what I really want to say is I can't tell whether I like it or not because I've been playing it for so long. I clearly have arrived at the stage where I like it now, but if I've heard it for the first time, you know, I mean, there are certain tracks that stand out to me, but...
Alfonso?
I don't even know what to say to you anymore.
Dead to me, Alfonso.
Banish me. No, look.
I think that's pretty much the end of the episode right there.
Yeah. And this.
More can be said. I mean, like, that's a pretty big bombshell there. We can't top that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all downhill from here, actually.
I could see where you're coming from on that. I mean, but I don't know. I think that Doom's tracks have a certain charm to them that really matches the feel of the levels and the design.
Actually, let's take on this point, because I think this is interesting. Do you think Doom's tracks are interesting outside of the maps that they feature in? Just like standalone tracks?
There are a few that I'd listen to just by themselves. Absolutely.
Sure, okay. So then, So they're good in both respects then, both as standalone and as game tracks, I guess.
Oh, absolutely, and like there are some people who really have a problem with the Odyssey of Noises because it uses At Doom's Gate, and I'm one of the few people who don't mind that track at all in that place. In fact, I quite like it, and I guess, you know, that goes back to Doom soundtrack, you know, being so established that you have people like yourself, Alfonso, who, you know, can't see that track as anything but E1M1, and it feels really weird when it's, you know, used on the second to last level of a map set.
It's too ingrained, yeah. I mean, I certainly can't say it's wrong. I'm too, I've been playing it too long to really to be able to know where the hell I stand on the point. That's the guess. I guess I'm too jaded or whatever. But
I'll be honest that map 15 Industrial Zone using entryway theme is probably more grating for me than on the Sea of Noises.
Jimmy, I think you need to take another trip to the D-Running appreciation stage.
I appreciate D-Running. I just think
it's like taking a pilgrimage.
I think it's hard to have it fit in a level other than entryway. It's just entryway's track. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean?
I can see that. Okay, so that actually brings me to another point, and that having two of Back to Saturn X's musicians here, this is actually kind of important. Music as each level having its own individual track, reusing multiple tracks. Now, the school of thought that Alfonso and I have both discussed on this is that when you have each level have its own track, it gives the levels more of a sense of identity, but it detracts from the track's sense of identity. And I know that Alfonso, you know, likes to see
track. That's right. The track's sense of identity is very important, I feel. And honestly, it gives you an opportunity to listen to it a second time. And when you hear it in different settings, yeah, it really fleshes it out a lot more. I don't know. So certain tracks for me, like Mark Clem's Dreadnought, for example, being played in different settings and different maps.
Oh, yes.
You know, I think a lot more highly of the track now because of that as a result. Clearly, a lot of projects don't do that today. It's because actually we have so many prolific musicians, such as yourselves, indeed. That we're able to keep to a 1-to-1 ratio with maps to tracks, but never used to be like that.
Honestly, I don't mind when some music tracks repeat. I think that's actually kind of cool. But definitely, I mean, in the case of Back to Saturn X, which was actually more or less my first time doing any sort of extensive soundtrack work for Doom. I mean, just working alongside someone as prolific as Jimmy, I didn't really have that much of a choice. Just like, I have to write a lot if I'm going to make any sort of mark on this whatsoever.
And with Back to Saturn X, you know, the tracks are amazing, but I'm with Alfonso that, you know, I didn't really think about this too much until Alfonso brought up the track identity. But yeah, it does really suck that you only get to hear tracks like Within Reach or Angry Science or Egypt once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, it's...
But at the same time, though, I mean, like, those three that you listed off, those are, like, the three episode finale tracks. And I mean, like, those would probably only be showing up once anyway, because that's kind of a big part of...
Yeah, but you also have things like Toy Box and Ether, things like those that, you know, it kind of, again, map identity, having a track that kind of feels structurally similar to Message of the Archfile, going back to the original Doom tracks and how much they work. So if you have, like, a gotcha-feeling map, it's kind of interesting to see how much, you know, even though it's a completely different song, a Message of the Archfile-feeling song really adds to that whole experience. Kind of like, I don't really like the track Horizon for TNT, but it does really lend itself to kind of a Journey feel.
As an aside, Messages for the Archfile is easily my favorite Doom track.
Why?
It just works so well for, like Tarnsbow was saying, for Journey long maps. It just gives a great impression of...
Yeah.
And I mean, just the way that it builds up over time and goes through all these different sections.
Very evocative.
It's adventure-y, I think.
It feels very long. I don't know if it's the longest track in Doom soundtrack, but it feels long.
Yeah.
Like a journey.
Now, is that a track that you identify more with? I mean, you say Gotcha. I think Tarnsman inadvertently called the track by the name, by Map 20 Gotcha. But I mean, I identify it just as much with Map 26, honestly. And I think it works just as well.
I identify it with both. It's just that when I think about it, I think Gotcha, because that's when you first encounter it.
Sure.
I see it that way as well. I think Gotcha is probably the more unique map as well, so that just sticks out in my mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you've got a unique map, you want kind of a unique track to go with it. And I think this probably relates back to the Back to Saturn X finale maps as well. Because Within Reach is like the track that I made just on a whim, because I had this kind of
piano riff in my head or something, and I had to get it down in like into a MIDI that had it, that had the piano as the main instrument, which isn't something you see very often in Doom, and I would probably argue that having piano as the main instrument in a Doom track isn't always conducive to having a Doomy sounding soundtrack. Yeah.
Now, you two guys, both yourself and Essel, do you ever create metal tracks? Because, I mean, there's a heck of a lot of... I mean, there's actually a thread right now in Doom World that says, what metal tracks do you think of that would work well in Doom? And clearly there's connotation between Doom and metal as well, because it's inherent. But there's also a division within the IWADs between metal and ambient tracks, for example. I mean, like Sinister.
I mean, I think as far as MIDI stuff goes, just because of the general nature of it, the line is sort of blurred between like what you would call metal and just what you would just call MIDI rock. So I'm not really sure. I mean, there are definitely some. Well, I don't know. I mean, just because it just about almost has to be sort of more like outwardly melodic and that sort of thing, just about just because of the sorts of instruments and sounds and everything. So, I mean, there's definitely some things like that, like, Map 2 of Back to Saturn X Episode 1, song Phobophobe.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's true.
I would say that if you're going to have metal tracks, then I think they'd have to be a bit princey. They have to sound, you know, a little bit different from a metal track's regular instrumentation, just because can be sort of quite, I don't know, I don't really know how to describe it, but there's...
Prince's Kiss in my head just there, which is a completely wrong track or song.
Yeah, wrong Prince.
Yes, wrong Prince.
I think basically what I'm saying is that you can't, well, you can, but I won't approve of it. you could just include a basic Metallica MIDI, but that would be kind of a bit odd, I think, because a lot of Metallica MIDIs aren't, you know, that well done. They feature the vocal line using a trumpet or something. It's kind of
I think that's a separate issue entirely, though. I mean, like, that's just a case of a really crappy MIDI. I mean, like, you could definitely have just, you know, like, serious metal music in Doom, and I mean, I'm sure it's done.
That's why I say it should sound a bit princey, as though it's been adapted for Doom, which is why I've been going over a couple of metal tracks that I've heard recently, kind of rewriting them, just using the original melodies and more or less the same structure, but just constructing them from the ground up, just because sequencing them completely verbatim, I want to say, just might not be conducive to a really good experience.
Sure. I think there seems to be a common consensus that metal equals vanilla. Well, that's not necessarily true.
Right.
I mean, they do seem to be, to me, entwined in some way, I guess. Honestly, when I personally think
not
of vanilla,
sure what
medicine,
you mean.
No, like people, there's a school of thought that there's that thread that currently says what rock songs or what type of songs work for Doom or whatever, and there's like a lot of consensus that. You know, like E1M1, stuff like that, E1M3, tracks that are very fast-paced, you know, kind of like, I guess the worst examples of that would be 2002 at Doom Odyssey Episode 1 music. Just, you know, rock and metal, not necessarily, or what Essel calls MIDI rock, is kind of what makes Doom, and a lot of people tend to forget things like, you know, like E2M4 or E3M7 or...
Yeah.
D-Doom, stuff like that. They're really slow, buildy songs that I think have a very good place in Doom. And Doom.
I would agree with that. And I think that just it's really, really important when it comes to putting a soundtrack together. Just, I mean, I guess it's the same way as with sequencing an album or just sequencing the maps themselves, that
the contrast really makes
right.
a huge difference.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, just like when you're going from a bunch of really upbeat, like, blast everything kind of music, like the E1M1 sort of thing, and then, like, for instance, when you get, you know, like in Knee Deep in the Dead, when you go from E1M4 to E1M5, just there's a very strong,
yeah,
just immediate change in atmosphere.
Correct.
Mm.
And honestly, yeah. when I think of Doom, that's the first thing. I mean, I don't think about only one camp of musical genre or other. I don't think of ambient. I don't think of rock. I think of, sorry, metal. I think of both of them together. And that equals Doom.
Yes.
In combination. How important do you think it is to have authorial diversity in a map set? So in Backstab Next at the moment, you have Jimmy doing sweeping the board with, I think, like 60 or 70% of it, and then you have Essel, and you have a couple of Primeval tracks, and I think there were a couple others from Stu Boy or some such. How important do you think that is?
Well, as long as you have, like, the diversity of, you know, Bobby Prince did all of Doom 1's music and Doom 2's music, so
right.
there was diversity there, even though it was all done by one artist. I think it's more
sure.
important to have track diversity
sure.
than
yeah.
diversity. And as long as... it's always important, I think, that the song fits the mood of the map set. Like, people were talking
yeah.
about what music works in Doom. I think all music works in Doom, because... like,
even the polka?
Yeah, even the polka. Because,
I still want to see you make that map.
I'm going to make that map for that polka song, because that song is awesome, and I hate all of you for hating it, because it's just so ridiculously out of place in Doom. But no.
Which one? Which song?
E2M1 of 2002, A Doom Odyssey. It's some polka song by Peak.
Oh, it's got a banjo, hasn't it, as the main instrument or something?
I think it does. It's
yes.
ridiculous.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
But, anyway, no, like, your bad pop middies, they have a place. They have a place in, Deathmatch.
You in 24.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So it's not like, you know, what type of music works. I think every type of music works. I think that,
Yeah.
just video game music, just that broad category is what works in Doom, because the same principles of music apply to anything. As long as the track feels like it belongs where it's being used, I think it works.
It's got to fit in with the level's kind of immersion and atmosphere.
Yeah.
Although I would say that for Deathmatch Wads, anything goes. That you could just, you know, you could have polka midis or, yeah, Mega Man midis are quite common in the...
You have
yeah.
to have the Duango 5 Mach 1 music in everything.
Yes.
It's astounding how appropriate it is to just throw pop or comical tracks, whatever, into 32 and 24 and just have it work.
I think part of it probably is just that by this point, most of the people who are still playing the game are so familiar with it that, like, it doesn't have to have the same types of music that you would originally expect to go with it. And so, in a lot of P1s, and I mean, like, and I'm not saying this is a negative at all, I should clarify ahead of time, but I mean, there's, like, a lot of things, like, for instance, that Jimmy has written has, like, a very sort of, like, RPG-ish kind of feel to it, and... Yeah, I mean...
It was Sele, wasn't it, who said that the Back to Saturn X soundtrack sounds more like it should be on the NES than on, Doom?
Yeah, I that's what I was thinking of when I brought that up. But I mean, just that, I don't know, I just think that, just that at this point, after having been exposed to the game for so long, it just feels, I don't know, not unnatural to have different sorts of music to it.
Mm-hmm. I would agree, I think it could possibly go in any direction. Honestly.
Just because, I mean, like, the basic atmosphere of, like, okay... you're fighting the demons. Like, that's been established for a long time now. And so you can go far outside of that and have some really, I guess, not necessarily outlandish things, but I mean, just things that, like, the guys at id Software would have definitely not approved of. I mean, like, I'm remembering... there was a thing where Bobby Prince was talking about the creation of the music for Map 9 of Doom 2, Into Sandy City, and, like, where he originally had piano as the main instrument, and they thought that, that would be too wimpy for Doom, so he changed it to the harpsichord as a joke.
Oh.
But except then,
that just there are so many ways that you can use a piano in a way that can be, like, really, you know, you can use the piano in a really creepy ways.
Oh, absolutely, and again, that goes back to the familiarity works because now it's, you know, as long as it fits, it doesn't necessarily need to sound quote-unquote doom, because Bobby Prince's music does have a very distinct sound.
Yeah.
It's very yeah. Bobby Prince, but no, yeah, I agree that now that it can afford to basically be is whatever it wants, as long as, you know...
As long as it's not polka?
No, it can be polka. As long as it matches...
Fine.
As long as it matches the map.
Dubstep.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mentioned Death Match before specifically because, well, to say that, there really is a deeper connection between gameplay and music, and I think many people give it credit for. I mean, it's plainly obvious in something like Deathmatch. The reason that pop music and works in Deathmatch is because it's a whimsical affair, and it's ridiculous. It's comical to be blasting your teammates along to the Elvis Presley or some other... well,
maybe
whatever.
Jog it off.
Yes, some such.
Yes.
That works. That's an extreme example, though, to point out what I think Essel was getting out there as well. But I think, really... as Doom develops new nuances and sort of level design and whatever, it's progressing in different directions, music will go along with it, I think. And, of course, we only actually have a reasonably sized handful of musicians for Doom, but actually that's an interesting point at the moment. I mean, how do you think... how should I phrase this? Because, I mean, we have Jimmy, we have Essel, we have Stewboy, we have Primeval, for example.
And I mean, like, I don't think I should even be on that list because I've really only done music for my own projects. I mean, just whereas guys like Jimmy, Primeval, Stewboy, they've just written hundreds of songs
for all these different projects. I mean,
everywhere.
We really rely upon them, actually. And I think it's almost taken for granted. I mean, if they weren't there, what would we do for music? Someone else clearly would step up to the plate, but you think it would be a wholly different affair. I mean, I think some of the time...
I mean, like, probably at this point, there's so much music that's around in the community that...
If they were to disappear...
It would probably be a little
so
while before we'd even notice. I think just because there's so much good music and so much of it is like, okay, that's in this one map.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that taking the Platonia approach and having no new music is not a negative.
I think, to be honest, in terms of using no new music, that's fine. It's just a matter of, I think I probably won't be as immersed in it personally because the Doom soundtrack, I think, like Alfonso said earlier, it has kind of sort of jaded itself to me, I suppose.
Yeah.
But,
I was mainly referring to using the existing community music.
Oh, I see, yes. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, Alien Vendetta, like, there was only one actually new song written for that. All the rest of it was pulled from Doom or other games or other places.
And I quite like how Plutonia manages its soundtrack using just existing music and just but mixing it up a little bit. So, yeah, that's something I do like.
At the very least, if all of the musicians present in the community today were to just... turn tail and run away. I think there'd be many of us who wouldn't realize that the tracks are repeating themselves until 5 years down the line. We have that much. We're just inundated with it. So that's a safety netting for us. But I mean, before when Jimmy mentioned just there, or well, with Tarnsman rather gave the suggestion that he was talking about community projects using the stock, even though he was talking about what we have from community musicians today. When I was talking previously about tracks becoming, in fact, it was the first thing that you mentioned, become enriched through being played across multiple maps. That only goes up to a point, right? That's the point past where, I mean, you can't use Doom's stock music anymore to, you can try to work it into unique maps to try to get unique feel out of it, but it's only going to work to a point because we really have heard it that much. The point at which that that will happen for, I don't know, music coming out today is won't come for some time if we decide to reuse it, which we don't. We have too much. So there really isn't a negative here. There's no downside.
I would say that, no, you can still use Doom stock music. I could still see D-Doom or Message for an Arch file being used in...
Yeah, but you're never going to get the same impact if you had a fresh track that was catered for that.
I'm going to disagree. I think those tracks still have a place, and sometimes you don't need a new thing if an old thing already fills that void, I think. I mean, if it feels like a Doomy map set, like Doom 2 the way it did, or Doom the way it did, you know, they just feel like they need the original tracks because it feels like it needs a Bobby Prince song.
Right, I mean, just because, like, it would drastically change the atmosphere, I think, otherwise. I don't know, there's just something about it.
It's a very specific example.
I can see that train of thought.
That is a specific example.
Right. That's just the extreme of classical mapping. But right. If it feels like a classical map set, reusing some Mark Clem would be pretty much the, you know, the older stuff like that. You know, the new stuff has to feel new for it to really, even then, like, I can still play a new map that has, you know, At Doom's Gate or whatever, and still really like it, because I just generally like those tracks, and I like hearing them in the background, to where the track has such an identity to where I'm the exact opposite. I know what that track means, and it works for me to hear it even in a new place, because it has such an established identity.
Sure. If we take this argument and apply it to textures or something like that, I mean, if I take a look at, say, Stasis style, Natural 20 style, I think I actually said this once when No End in Sight was announced, or the thread was first put up with the beta, and I played through a bit of it. I think I said that precise thing, that to anyone who says that, you know, the stock textures can't be used in such a way as to make things feel fresh or used in an interestingly new way, take a look at this map set and see otherwise. I think there's actually some other map set that I saw someone play recently in which everything was comprised of wood and ZZZ face, and it worked, surprisingly. Well, I mean, they used the techie parts of that, not the actual icon. That would be horrendous. But yeah, so I think there is still some room for it. I just wouldn't agree to the same extent with the music. I think I'd like to leave it at that.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say you're wrong, Alfonso.
Your opinion is wrong.
So there.
Okay, so definitely we've all come to an agreement that music is definitely a critical component of...
I don't think there was any contention there, no, to be perfect.
Definitely.
We didn't come to agreement so much as we had an agreement off the block.
Yes, we have people like Essel who... have done the unthinkable and play Doom with the music off and listen to other music. And I want to actually bring that up. I personally feel that playing level without the intended and playing it with something else just really hampers the overall experience to the point where I can't even, like, judge the map because it just feels that differently to me.
I occasionally listen to the BBC Radio 4 when I'm playing Doom, the music off.
Yeah, actually.
A bit of talk back, you know?
Okay.
Like, suck it down.
As we're speaking right now, I guess it's... I don't know, I haven't really tried it with other music outside of Doom, but playing Doom without the music as I'm doing right now, and I've watched Alfonso do, it just feels like a completely different experience. Like, there's not the seasoning on the meal you've just been handed, and you can... taste the difference and wonder why it isn't there.
Well, some maps have, of course, deliberately elect to emit music. Never mind the listener electing to get turned off on them.
Yeah. There's that Community Chess 3 map that emits the music. Snap 28, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Token Arch.
Which is that's a very strange map, and I do. It's one of my favourite maps in the set.
But does it work by itself for its lack of music, or as a part of the overall set for its lack of music? Like, you've had 27 massive music, and then all of a sudden nothing, and that's why it's interesting.
Actually, yeah, I would say that it works. Yeah, if you have that juxtaposition like that, where the music suddenly cuts out, then I could see that working. But
yes, it does work on a few levels, I think. Just because the map is very slaughtery as well, so there's that kind of disparity going on as well.
And in my defense here, I will say
And so
generally, if I'm really doing a serious playthrough of something and like really getting into it and setting out to, you know, to really get through something instead of just sort of just taking a quick look through it, then I'm probably going to be playing with the music on. Just in my defense there.
And so there is no in your defense. We've already proven that you're worse than Hitler and a blight on the community.
I'm sorry.
Exactly. All right, so this brings me to one thing I really want to talk about, instrumentation in MIDIs. And I know Jimmy has some thoughts on instruments that just should never be used in MIDIs. And let's get into the production side a little bit. Jimmy?
All right. Yes, there's just a few instruments in MIDI that I think should never be used. So I'm just going to say that right now.
I think I know what one of them ought to be. Probably
yes.
Not in Jimmy's list, but it is in mine.
Okay, let's hear yours, Essel, first.
Bird tweets, Jimmy. Bird tweets.
Bird tweets, Essel.
Never.
Never. Not even in D Bunny?
No.
I'll tell you what, there's a Peacock track that does it very well. There is.
Yes.
There's a Zazer track that does it really well. It's a filler track right now that is an E2 of Back to Saturn X.
Yeah, it's so wrong. Just No.
There's a track called Psychedelic Asia, which is a Peacock track used in, I think it's Peacock's community project, in fact. Around map 18, I think it's a map by Magic Sofa, which uses it. It manages it because it's just completely surreal. I guess it's the only way you're going to make bird tweets work in any way. Gunshots feature quite regularly in some tracks, I think.
What about D Bunny?
Yeah, I just pulled that up. It's like, that's got very subtle bird tweet in it.
Yeah,
I think that can work.
That works. I misspoke earlier. I'm sorry. that works just because it's consciously trying to set the exact opposite atmosphere of what is in Doom. And that's actually, that pretty much sums up my reason for why it should never be used in Doom.
I disagree because Plutonium Map 11 proves that sometimes that works in a gameplay environment. Because Plutonium Map 11 would not be the same map without D Bunny.
I don't know. That just feels like a really odd choice to make for a map.
I think it
works on so many levels, that particular one.
I think they chose it. I think they chose it because it was the closest to what they wanted. I'm pretty sure they could get some sort of evil sounding.
They want to set a deeply unsettling atmosphere for that map, which I think is appropriate because you're being chased down by invisible, almost archviles in a big maze. So you want something that will, you know, stress the player out even more with that. I think that it just has that map has a very kind of stressful quality to it. The whole thing, and the music just adds so much to it. I think
absolutely, and I think that having something that, I would agree with Essel, that bird tweets are not Doom, but that's why they work in certain places, because they're so not Doom, that when you want to make that radical...
This is your reasoning behind why you like poker, isn't it?
If it can be applied to a map correctly, yeah.
You know, the man just likes poker. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to excuse it. He doesn't need to explain it.
Actually, just to go back to bird tweets, I've just remembered that there's a Community Chest 2, I think map 30 of Community Chest 2 actually uses a very, very low bird tweet to create this weird, deeply disturbing sound in the background.
Right, yeah.
Okay, that's an entirely different kind of thing, though.
Sure,
Yes.
I mean, I think applause is often used to create, like, rolling waves or something like that. I think it's used quite predominantly in Hell Revealed 2 for one track. And perhaps
I think you can... I think if you want to, like, add atmosphere to a track, then, yes, by all means you can use things like applause and bird tweets. And things like
that. I don't even know how to telephone.
Yeah, you can definitely...
Or dare I say, helicopter.
By abusing... the sound effects and other things like that. I mean, like, in the hub music that I did for Back to Saturn X Episode 1, there is some subtle train noises in the background and they're actually in stereo. So that frustratingly doesn't come through if you're listening with FMOD and ZDUM for some reason. It just puts everything in mono. But, there's a couple of channels of really low helicopter for like this low thumping plus some, you know, like distant train horns and stuff.
So bird tweet can be used as long as it's not used in a obvious and predominant manner, is what you're saying.
I think it can be used as long as you're not using it to make the little birdies go tweet. Like that, as long as that's not its intended purpose.
Okay. We've discussed bird tweet. That's Essel's first choice. Actually, you probably know what another Essel choice is that Alfonso and I will disagree with immensely.
Oh, really? Because I can't think of any others off the top of my head.
Well, we'll get back to it. Jimmy, what's your first MIDI-hated instrument?
I'm going to say voice ooze.
Voice ooze.
Okay. Yes. As opposed to choir R's. Which,
I
think...
I know what you're getting at, just because that one is... It can get a little bit doofy. It sounds like the Rugrats theme.
Oh!
Yes.
Can you give a primary example of where this these oohs are used horribly? And can you think of any examples of where they're actually used pretty effectively?
I think... Oh, let me just check really quickly.
I'm actually just going to answer both of those questions, Tarnsman, with the Rugrats theme on Nickelodeon.
Can we think of any Doom-related places?
Nope.
Nothing.
Yes, okay. An example of a track that uses it really well is D-Doom. Right? Voice they used right at the start of the track. They're kind of like boom, that kind of effect. But which is
dramatic. So sort of low pitched then.
Yeah, when it's sort of distorted.
Yeah.
These things work in other words when they're not used, when they're not really audible. You can't really when they are audible but you can't make them out.
Okay.
Not audible sounds.
And
there's a Nirvana track or a Megadeth track or something. I think it was used in End 1 or End 2.web, which Alfonso played through recently. And I think that uses...
Yes! Oh, God! Oh, God! Yes! Okay.
You know what? I can't remember. I've done such an efficient job of wiping it from my memory.
It starts out with a harpsichord, right? It kind of plays power chords similar to Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit. And then the vocal line comes in.
Oh, I remember it now. I wish I had to do that to me.
Okay. So we've established that that's not a good thing unless it's... So going with that and bird tweet, the outside-the-box, not-very-good instrumentation is good when it's not used as its primary purpose.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So, Essel, so you really can't think of any other instrumentation that you're not a fan of?
No, though, I do have a related rant to go on.
Oh, please go on it.
Wait, let me get the spotlight. Let me get the microphone.
I speak, of course, of custom sound font replacements.
Oh, yes, this is...
Yes, like, as someone who, I mean, I've always hated these even before I started writing music for Doom, but now that I have, there is a special just place of hatred in my heart for these things, because they just have an absolutely incredible way of utterly butchering the entire mixing, timbre, everything of...
I've listened to a few, Back to Saturn X tracks with custom sound fonts, and they're a whole other type of special.
Yeah.
I mean, just, I think that it's probably something that could be done decently, but a big part of the problem is just all of the ones that, or at least most of the ones that I've heard, they just sound very obviously like they were compiled together by someone with absolutely no audio production experience. And so, like, there's, I don't know, just the, there's, like, massive gaping holes in the frequency range that makes everything sound like it's got, like, a big hole in it and it's really hollow. And, like, the drums have no presence, or, like, they sound like they're each pulled from totally different sources, and, like, there's no attempt whatsoever to, make the pieces fit together.
We're not talking about Abigail Amara here, are we?
No, that...
That's an entirely different brand of bad.
It's special.
Yeah. Oh, no. We're talking about numerous sound fonts that have been applied to Back to Saturn X by the likes of, like, Dominic White. Yeah.
Dominic, if you're listening to this, I will not apologize for the human race. Anyway, just... All that I can really say to this, though, is just, like, in the early 90s when Doom's music was first written and all of that, like, it was pretty much a given that a lot of people were not going to be hearing the music in the same way that the person who composed it intended it to be, just because, you know, I mean, like, there wasn't really such a thing as, like, software MIDI, and everybody had different sound cards with their own proprietary instrument sets, and... You know, like, you can end up with all sorts of horribly butchered versions of the music, and that was pretty much just expected, and you just sort of had to write music that would try to be compatible with them as best as you could. Except nowadays, though, like, about 20 years later, when it's been just, I think it's been a pretty safe bet for, like, at least 10 years now that just about everyone who's listening, if they don't change any settings, they're just going to be hearing the music with, like, the built-in Sound Campus instruments. And so you can pretty much, I think, or at least you should be able to pretty safely just compose and mix based around how that sounds.
Yes, that's exactly what I do, basically.
And so then it's like, okay, you can do that and hear, you know, and hear the way that it's supposed to sound, you know, like how all the instruments are mixed, like what's in the foreground, what's in the background, what has presence, what doesn't, da, da, da. And I don't know, I just think, like, at this point there's pretty much, if you screw with that, you're just going to be messing up a lot of the music and things.
Right, I think that you could apply, like, if this was somebody's film, if you just randomly cut the scenes up and watched them in a random order, that'd be like changing the instrumentation that's being used. Because, you know, that is what it's composed with, and, you know, that's how it's intended to be heard, to the point where, yeah, if it's changed in any radical fashion, it kind of fucks with how it's supposed to sound.
I mean, I would kind of call... I mean, I would consider it sort of similar to high-res texture packs, whereas, like... I think the biggest problem with this goes with high-res texture packs the same way that it does with replacement sound fonts for something like Doom is just there are so many different ways that you can use an instrument or a texture that it's really impossible to create a replacement for it that improves upon it in a way that's not going to screw up some of the possible uses.
Oh, absolutely. And not look ridiculously, like, out of place when applied to other things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, if you're doing it, you know, like, specifically for each song and you really know what you're doing, then sure, you can replace all the instruments, you can change all of that and probably make it sound a whole lot higher fidelity, but just trying to do that in any sort of generalized sense and expect it to work with everything or even most things is... Probably, I'm not even going to say probably, just because in absolutely every case that I've heard, like, every recommended improved sound font that I've heard has absolutely sounded like garbage to me.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. And with that, we go to Jimmy. What's your next hated instrument?
Actually, do you mind if I just append something to the sound font train of thought?
Yes.
Essel hates them. And I can see his beef with them in that they're not always compatible with MIDI. But I actually use sound fonts for rendering all of my songs, so I can then upload them to YouTube. And there are programs out there that allow you to mix sound fonts better, so you can combine sound fonts together to render one MIDI with multiple sound fonts, and you can adjust the mix manually as well. So there are programs out there that can make them work.
I've listened to some of those, and honestly, I think generally they sound better in the original MIDI format, personally.
Yeah, I can kind of see where you're coming from there. I think the MIDI, general MIDI, sound base has a very special place in my heart, just because it's the basis, like, for everything that I've done. So I write specifically for that sound, and for anybody, any other sound would be kind of just adding for the sake of adding, I suppose, a bit like a high-res texture pack or a high-res sprite set, like you said. So I can see where you're coming from, but I would say that I personally don't hate sound fonts, and I don't mind using them in Doom either. I do have EAW Pats, which is quite a good one. It's not quite a sound font, it's more like a kind of patch database, but it sounds good. And Mark Clem actually uses that to render his MIDIs, I think. I think he might also use Reason, but I'm not quite sure. Just to beef them up a little bit more. But if you look on Mark Clem's YouTube page, he has a number of ones there that he's rendered with EAW Pats, and they sound pretty good. I'm just going to raise a quick point here. I don't know if anyone of you can agree with me, but it might split the room somewhat. No, I'm just going to say I think Doom is a bit cheesy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I think, the way it looks, mainly, because some things in it just look outright cartoony. I'm not going to lie there. Just, like, the fact that the water's, like, bright blue and stuff like that, it just doesn't happen in real life, so...
Yes, it does, if you are at a miniature golf course.
Yes.
UAC Waste Disposal and Mini Golf.
Uh-huh. Oh, make it happen. Make it happen. Oh, God, I want to play that.
I think we've got our name for Doomtooth the way it did Mac 1.
Yeah. We'll have to pen that in.
Alfonso?
Uh-huh. Well, I can't object anyway. You probably send out your hitman. Tell me what, don't include it anyway, so there we go. He does. He actually has hitman at his disposal. This is why he's such an efficient tyrant.
It's true.
He also has death camps that he sends people to. Okay, so
I'm gonna have to Alfonso.
Uh-huh.
You're the maestro. You know what to do.
Oh, Alfonso is the editing maestro, and that's why he leaves. That's why he leaves. Not only does he leave editing fuck ups in the video,
that's enough.
But he leaves me telling them to edit it out.
Husband, I have hitmen of my own. Okay, I'm dispatching officers. Okay, here we go.
Wow, this is just like complete anarchy.
It is. Oh God, it's just gonna be a bunch of hitmen killing hitmen. Whatever will we do? So, steel drums.
Yes. Where were we?
Steel drums.
Yes.
Jimmy, how do you feel about steel drums?
Oh, steel drums. Yes. Yes, I would say yes. They're definitely one that should never be used. I'm not even sure that steel drums can be used in a clever way, like a voice ooze or applause or helicopter can.
Jimmy, hello. How else am I going to have Crank That Soldier Boy for my mouse music if I can't have steel drums?
I'm afraid you're just going to have to live with that. I'm afraid that if you do that, I'll send my hitman after you, and,
I think the, hitman joke, I'm sorry, but I think you may have missed the train on it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So, Jimmy, you can't think of a single instance where steel drums could be used cleverly to not be totally horrible.
I cannot, no. Like, if it's used really high, it still sounds like a steel drum, just really high. And if it's just really low, it just sounds like a steel drum, but really low. So, yeah.
You guys, so, yeah. Tropical Vacation.
Was... If you want to do Doom Caribbean, Essel, then yeah, be my guest. But I can't think of any other instance where it's appropriate.
Right. Okay, exercising so, my standing as chief overseer of the Program B radio show, I am going to force the discussion onto a different area, and you're going to have to follow suit.
You.
Otherwise, there we go. MP3s in Doom. Take up a lot of space.
Okay.
But I imagine that's probably not your... If you have any criticism of their use at all.
Personally, there is one case where it bothers me, and unfortunately it seems to be the most common use of it, is
right.
Just when it's music that wasn't actually written for the project, and it was just pulled from like other games or from elsewhere, and it was just sort of stuffed in there, sort of, I guess, just... I don't know, I mean, I feel kind of bad implying motives about this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Just the sort of feel that it gives me is like, well, if we put this really fancy music here from these other games, then it'll make our mod look better.
Right, okay.
Whereas, I mean, like, I think one of the first Zedu mods that I played was RTC 3057.
Sure.
And the soundtrack in that, I mean, though I know... Julian, the guy that composed it, is kind of embarrassed by like production quality in it now compared to what he's doing these days. But I mean, just the sort of atmosphere that it set and just the types of sounds and things in it were just really definitive of RTC for me, and it just made such a huge difference in just setting the mood of that WOD and the whole setting. And I mean, just that they were written specifically for it, and you can't find them anywhere else.
Right. I guess what I really meant to address in saying this is that when you have an MP3 track or soundtrack that is of a very high quality, you know, it's being used as an MP3, does it justice? Would that necessarily entail a map set that is also of equally high caliber? Because, I mean, it seems to me when we're talking about, like, high-resolution texture sets, for example, how unless you really go full throttle with the detail in order to justify that set, then it doesn't look very good because, you know, you have these high-detail textures that are spread across empty spaces or you know, the architecture otherwise looks bland and it doesn't look very good. I think it's the same with music. If you have a high-quality MP3 track, you also have to have a high-quality map set.
Just... The reason why I'm going to say no to that is because Doom 64, though it wasn't MP3 music, it was decidedly not MIDI, and it was very much the sort of just atmospheres and
okay, sure.
that you could generally only achieve with some sort of, you know, sample-based audio stuff.
Right.
I mean, definitely Doom 64 had its own very distinct atmosphere that was different from what you get out of Doom, but at the same time, I think the presence of that music itself was a large part of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that it necessarily has to go with some like super detailed map, necessarily, just as long as it's competent and that the mood of it is appropriate, really.
Sure, okay. I'd agree with that ultimately.
Mm-hmm. I would say, as long as it lends to the atmosphere and whatnot. Although I would say that I just have a personal beef with MP3 specifically, just because of the file size and whatnot. It's you know, fairly common knowledge, I think, that if you use MP3s in a Doom world, you're just going to bloat it out quite unnecessarily.
Right, yeah, that's also what I was getting at, I think, when I said that, you know, couldn't you just use MIDI for this instead? Are you really gaining anything by using MP3?
I would say yes. Yes, you do if you're actually writing it for that project and sort of tooting my own horn here a little bit. If the person who's doing it is competent enough with that format to be able to really seriously take advantage of it. You know, I mean, like, that it's not just going to sound like a sound fonted MIDI.
Right.
I mean,
if you're going to do it properly.
Right. I mean, like, the sorts of things that are in RTC 3057, for instance, that Julian did, just, you couldn't really get those sorts of sounds, those particular sorts of moods and styles within MIDI without really making major sacrifices. And I think with the soundtrack stuff that I've done for The Shores of Zidum, it's the same way. I mean, it's a much different type of music, but just, it's the sort of thing where, I don't know, just as someone who's written in both, who's written a lot in both MIDI and otherwise, it really does make a large, large difference in the sorts of things that you can really do with it, and just what comes naturally and what's generally achievable.
Sure. Just as an aside, MIDI and Zdoom, or Zdoom rather, depending what side of the Atlantic you're from, because I think there was a sound pack released separately. Was that actually, like, I guess official isn't the right word, was that released by the developers, or was that just some fan-made MP3 add-on? Because when I played it for the first time, it was I just used the original tracks. I suppose that was intentional. Was that always the case?
Okay. What happened there, I'm not actually entirely sure what all the behind-the-scenes politics with it was, but that was written officially for the project, but for one reason or another, it was decided that they were not going to include it with the main project and just do a separate release. I'm not really sure why, but that was actually written for it.
It's almost actually a good sign, honestly. I mean, if I would be right in assuming that the reason they excluded it is because they didn't think the quality was up to snuff. I mean, let's not take
I'm not really sure, and I'm not going to make any comments.
Right. So there's actually this, I just recalled this, incidentally, over the last 20 minutes when you guys were talking, and there was an idea that I think has cropped up at least two times on the forums. I think the last time it came up was a couple of months ago. It was the idea of creating a map set based on an album, or surrounding an album. You would take track one from the album, and then, you know, you would create map one to go alongside it or something, and to create... Do you think that's an interesting idea, and do you think you could get any creative juices flowing in a different, unique way with that approach? Seems interesting to me.
I would say yes, because I have tried it, and I only stopped because I only got mapper's block.
Oh.
So, but that was due to me trying to speed map the maps in, like, less than a week or something. Overwhelmed myself. This is, I think I did upload it somewhere, just a format alpha or something, but I used the album Resistance by Muse.
Ah, yes, of course.
And that was, it's not particularly doomy music, but I had the album, and for some reason or another, there was just these images of doom maps to go along with some of the tracks popping up in my mind. They have been known to use some fairly doomy guitar riffs, actually, from time to time in their music. So it's not completely unlike the atmosphere that doom lends with its metal tracks.
I think worrying about whether or not that sort of sound would go with doom is completely beside the point, actually, when I think of this approach. I would be tempted to take an album that sounded absolutely nothing like something that should go alongside doom. Polka
Party.
make a doom
Cripple
map
Day's Greatest Hits or something like that from a radio station in Melbourne. Take that, and then take Dennis Leary's song Asshole, and then see if I can make a map that goes alongside that. Take something that completely doesn't work. What?
I'm going to make a map for you based on the track Asshole.
By Dennis Leary?
Yeah. But, make a map set based on, like, a David Bowie album or something, yeah. No, I definitely think that there is a lot of merit into trying to, you know, make maps that fit the music, since there's so much, you know, I'm going to make a map and then I'm going to choose my music based on the map. So it'd be kind of interesting to work backwards from that. And also, I would think that that'd create some creative juices, because you'd have to kind of work outside your usual comfort zone to match what exists.
Totally.
I would absolutely agree with that. Going back to MP3 real quick, and what Essel and, of course,
quick, say it, quick. He's gone. There's nothing we can do, Jim. Well, to tide the time until he comes back. This is typically a question reserved for interviews, I guess, but I'm not sure if we've actually fired it up today, and I think it might as well be relevant. We talked about production and the influence that I suppose music can have on gameplay, but what are your favorite musicians at present? And I wonder if we could possibly segue into a discussion about where we think music is headed in Doom, if that's even an important point. Because I always thought it was the way that music is going to progress is dependent on what sort of musicians are present in the community at the moment and how, I don't know, map design changes, but maybe that's just creating a point where none's needed. It's just looking too deeply into it.
Well, as you probably know, not just from what I've said, but also from my actual musical style, I'm very big on progressive metal at the moment. Symphony X, who I actually discovered through Doom. Scythe uses two Symphony X tracks. Quite bizarrely, amidst a load of other kind of... it uses just two Symphony X tracks, or three, I think, possibly. Three, actually. Just in the midst of this megawide, which is otherwise completely Doom 1 and Doom 2 music. So that's what stood out to me about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very big on progressive metal at the moment, Symphony X, Dream Theater, and a couple of other bands that I've just picked up. Bad Salad is a really good one.
Bad Salad?
Bad Salad. Named after the writing sessions, apparently, where it would just be a salad of ideas, and a bad one. But the music is not bad. The music's really very good.
But they don't have a lot of confidence in it?
Possibly, I don't know. I think they seem to have a lot of fun with their stuff. It's they got quite a nice presence on YouTube, so you can see stuff behind the scenes and whatnot. But anyway, that's beside the point. Progressive metal would be my favourite genre, and Symphony X and Dream Theater would be my top two artists.
You haven't considered working, I don't know, godhood into Doom app, have you?
No. I don't know how big the map would have to be.
Well, I was actually thinking more, I mean, certain Z-Doom maps, or I keep mentioning that source port, but obviously there are multiple that could do it. Well, it just shows you how learned I am. When you progress through a map, you pass a certain line there, and all of a sudden the musical track changes. I imagine that could work with a suite like godhood. That is a loud...
Huntsman will probably insist on putting it into, like, a minute and a half long stream.
Yes,
map.
Of course he would.
Oh, well, I absolutely would insist on putting on a minute long stream. But more importantly, speaking of crossing over lines, you can always do that in the most fucked way possible. See the Phobos directive, where that you can cross over the line multiple times, and you have the track playing on top of itself, and then on top of itself again. Create just this cacophony of noise and misery that you just beg to stop, and then you...
Yes, and with you can't turn it down because he didn't play it as music, but as a sound effect.
Yes.
Come on, guys, this isn't a platform for you to bitch... Actually, no, it is. Keep going.
This is entirely a platform for me. Yes. I would definitely, though, put that track into a one-minute speed map, especially considering that,
Perhaps Another Vultures?
Traps on the Vultures, which uses a 9-minute Jimmy track in a map that can be beaten in like 45 seconds if you speed run it.
That's cruel.
So,
Townsman, you're cruel. You're cruel.
That's musician abuse.
So, yes. What's your point about MP3s there, Townsman?
Oh, it's just that as long as it feels like there's a reason for it to exist, that I don't mind the bloated file size. I mean, is 2013. We're not on dial-up, watching that file download, like, come on.
Yeah, and I mean, like, especially given that, like, the file size you can get from just a map nowadays, like, a big map.
Yeah, that can get quite big, yeah.
I mean, like, a map that's around, like, 60,000 SIGs or so can be like 7 megabytes uncompressed.
Mm.
So, like adding like 2 or 3 megabytes of that to music, like on top of all the textures and everything else, it's like, okay, who cares?
Yeah, I would, however, object to map sets. I don't know if many exist, but to map sets that use exclusively MP3s for the soundtrack, because that's when the bloat can get a little bit out of control.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
I mean, like RTC only uses MP3s for its soundtrack.
Oh well, those were written, yeah, specifically for the project, and yes,
right.
That's exactly
what I'm talking about. Like, I think that if you're creating original content and not just ripping it off from somewhere, and it's of sufficient quality, then you can bloat your WAD as much as your little heart desires.
Oh, absolutely. I was actually going to bring up Deus Vault 2, which is the ultimate example of unnecessary shit clogging up the map set.
And just thousands of totally unused textures, like everything and variants of, like, every possible size from like 2 units across to like 65 units across, and every little one in between, regardless of whether they're used, no pruning whatsoever. Yeah.
And I would also like to point out the animated GIFs that it uses as the textures.
Oh yeah, so that's entirely my point, is that map set is bloated to fuck, but nobody's gonna complain about it because it's Deus Vault 2. It's, you
if it's good enough, you can get away with a lot of BS.
Yes, and you know, that harkens to other aspects, like people who have, you know, dehacked in questionable legal stuff, and then been like, well, you guys did crap about it when this person did it. And it's like, yeah, but that person did it in a good map set, so we're willing to be hypocrites and look away from it. Whereas you
right. I mean, like, with that sort of thing, I think there's some difference, not just in quality, but also in just, like, whether it's really being used to complement original content.
Yeah.
Just, like, if the entire purpose of the WAD is just, let's rip off this stuff from a bunch of places and compile it. But that's getting kind of off topic. Anyway, we were talking about favorite musicians.
Yeah.
Well,
Present or otherwise. I mean, I always flag up Stew Boy as a modern one, but honestly, my heart lies with really. I'm not that passionate. Mark Clem and Associates.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
From the early days. And honestly, Tom Mustaine.
Yeah, Tom Mustaine made some really good music, yeah.
Wait, are we talking about favorite Doom music, or...
Just
what?
In general.
He wasn't, but I mean, I suppose it'd be a helpful point if you can make it somehow relevant. But, you know, by naming outside sources and saying maybe that actually influences your work on creating a soundtrack for BTSX, for example, if it does.
Well, I'm kind of an odd case in that I write electronic music, but I don't really listen to a whole heck of a lot of electronic music. I mostly just listen to Rush. But, I mean, I could just go down my Last FM list and come up with a whole bunch of things that I've listened to that have had a lot of influence on me over the years. Like, Yoko Kanno, Porcupine Tree...
Don't mention Yoko Kanno, because according to Alfonso, the Japanese can't make good music.
That's not what I said. I said the idea of Japanese jazz hasn't crossed my mind. I don't know what Japanese jazz sounds like, or Japanese rap. It's just, I'm sorry that you misinterpreted what I said back there.
But yeah, I mean, like, one of the songs that I did for Back to Saturn X Episode 3, it's a song called Temple. It was just the whole atmosphere and concept of it was directly influenced by a Yoko Kanno song from the soundtrack to Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex called Some Other Time. And
is that one of the tracks she ripped off, or is that one of the ones she didn't
Not to my knowledge. I mean, like, it had, I think it was sort of, like, similar feel to some things, but I haven't found anything that it was plagiarized from.
Okay.
I would be pretty disappointed if it was. It is a really amazing song. But then, of course, there is, even back to Saturn X, obviously, Robert Pollard and Guided by Voices and all of his other related side projects, like Circus Devils, Boston Spaceships, and just probably the two biggest things that I've taken from, I don't know, I don't want to say two biggest things because I'm probably going to end up just arbitrarily listing things, but one big thing that I've taken from listening to his music is just incorporating more complicated arrangements, even into shorter songs, with more changes and distinct segments and all this stuff. He makes it look very easy. And definitely with a bunch of the stuff on the Back to Saturn X soundtrack, I've sort of attempted to capture some of that. And
I think that would be difficult to disguise, what with, you know, the entirety of the map center consisting of names derived from...
I'm not disguising anything. I'm just talking about...
Aren't numerous of your Back to Saturn X tracks very Bobby Prince inspired?
I wouldn't really say that. I mean, there was one that I did in episode 2. It's actually called Prince, that started out as a sort of Bobby Prince-y attempt, though I allowed it to sort of go off in a somewhat different direction. Wasn't really going for complete authenticity, though I think the inspiration is probably pretty clear. And Phobophobe, the Map 2 music in episode 1, that one actually very early on originated as I was thinking I was going to try doing some Bobby Prince style MIDI rock, and pretty much like immediately from the first note down got completely off there.
Well, there's at least one track that's basically just Back to Saturn X's message for the Archvile, even though it's completely different.
Oh, yeah, the song Ether from the episode 2 map Speed Traps for the Bee Kingdom.
Which is the best map name possible. Just, you can't beat a map name Speed Traps.
No responding.
That's just not true. That's only because we have not yet created In the Bathroom Up Half the Night.
Oh, yes, that's true. We do need to create In the Bathroom.
You people are disgraceful.
Anyway, yeah, Ether, part of the inspiration for that one was definitely Message for the Archvile, and just the idea of creating a really lengthy, multi-part, adventure-y song for a lengthy, multi-part, adventure-y kind of map. And that one, I actually, it started out as, I think, like three different song sketches, and I ended up compositing them together and then just sort of hacking apart at them and changing things until they fit.
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah.
So, this all said, when will the Back to the Next soundtrack be released for purchase? How much will it cost? And on what Mexican soap opera can I listen to it?
It'll be on The Passion of Juan Rico, which airs on Telemundo at 7 p.m. Mondays and Thursdays, and it'll be available for $95, complete with a 387,000-word inspirational booklet about the creation of Back to Saturn X and how hard we worked to perfectly capture Mexican soap opera music.
Really like at some point in the future to try putting together an album or some such thing based on some of the music that I've done for Back to Saturn X.
Right.
Just because, and I mean, personally, I'm really happy with the stuff that I've done with it. I think it's some of the better music that I've written, and that I've just definitely grown as a composer a lot in the process, and also just that the process of working with the limits of MIDI sort of forced me to spread out and write more complex and, you know, more compositionally complex stuff to compensate for it. And anyway, just, I don't think that I would ever do something like what was done with the Hacks soundtrack a while back, where you know, just like sound fonted versions of the soundtrack was sold on CD or whatever, because like that's cheap. Anybody could do that. Like you can literally just export the MIDIs from the WAD file, play them through whatever you want, and there you go. So, I really would like to try taking some of the music from it and turning them into full-fledged productions, but, I don't know, just, I've made a couple of tries at it, and so far I have not really even come close to anything that I would consider releasable. It's, I don't know, just, it's a lot harder than doing something from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to do very much the same for. I'd like to do the same for the Harmony soundtrack personally.
Yeah.
That I did.
I actually started
out. We'll see how that turns out.
To Essel as a. I mean, it turned into a joke, but I was actually semi-serious when I asked when an album was coming out, because I recall seeing some sort of sleeve for Plutonium 2 soundtrack. I think a screenshot that Jimmy gave sometime in the past. I can't recall. Is there actually like a cassette lying around somewhere? A disc case?
Oh, yes. Well, yes, yeah, it's not entirely official, I suppose, but it's just, I wanted to see if I could burn the MIDIs onto a CD and get them into a format where I could share them with other people without, you know, having them just MIDIs that you just load on the computer and play with Doom. Yeah.
I'm going to release it on floppy disk. We're going to release it on cassette, and we're going to call it Cassettes and Castanets, the Back to 7X Experience.
That's excellent. That's
I reiterate, disgraceful. Unfortunately, this discussion can't go on forever. There are a couple of things that I would like to address quickly. Maybe it could go on for a lot longer, I don't know. Depends. I'm rather ashamed that I didn't think of this beforehand, because Jimmy's been involved in a number of... community music projects, one of which is going on at the moment, I think, the Plutonia MIDI community project,
yes.
I recall. And, of course, you were previously the proprietor, I guess is the word, for the Doom Musicians Guild, I think, correct? Which fell by the wayside. Do you think there's room for MIDI community projects of the like that you're creating right now? Because, I mean, it's snowballed a bit in popularity, I think.
It's gone really well. It's been really well received.
Do you all think it's vital that we get more musicians on board to do more tracks? Or not so much?
Yes, totally. I think I'm waiting on a track from Primeval at the moment, and I'm hoping that Stewboy will also contribute to it. But yeah, it's been really well received. I've seen users who I didn't even know actually compose. Step up to the plate and offer the MIDIs for the project. So it's great that we've got all this talent here that even I wasn't aware of. I was aware of the major names in the MIDI, MIDI artist branch of Doom World. So Primeval, Stewboy, obviously Essel. There's a guy called Yakfrak who just does such brilliantly surreal MIDIs. I don't know if you've listened to any of them yet. He's posted about four or five MIDIs in the thread somewhere, and they're just quirky and bizarre. I can't really describe them. They're just amazing. You just have to listen to them for yourself.
I recall
they're not
Ribbix.
Doomy in the slightest.
I recall Ribbix putting out some tracks from a while ago in the blogs. The blogs forums, I think, and I haven't heard anything since. Maybe he's put out some extra stuff or he's contributed to the project. That was very interesting.
He has contributed one MIDI so far to the Plutonia MIDI pack.
Right.
That's quite good. I'm hoping he'll do some more stuff for that, actually, because he seems to be very prolific and very skilled in the technical side and the melodic side of MIDI as well.
And just to talk about the idea behind the project, because that's actually quite interesting. You're trying to create an original soundtrack for Plutonia that might best serve its theme or what we identified to be Plutonia today, right?
Yeah. I think it's turning out okay so far. There are a couple of MIDIs which aren't, like, princey, but I think that's just down to the fact that it's a community project and everybody has their own style.
actually think there's a lot of room there to go further with that idea. You could even come back to Doom 2. I mean, actually, obviously, if you try to, Mr. Freeze, of course, attempted to do a soundtrack for Doom the way it did, which didn't roll over so well with some, which is why it wasn't included ultimately. But yeah, I still think there's quite a lot of room to do community projects of that kind. I think it might be onto something there.
Definitely think we should do more of those. Yeah.
Going beyond, not just I'm going to attempt to make a soundtrack for an existing thing, just, you know, music packs in general that aren't...
Right.
Here's a bunch of MIDIs for Lady Gaga or whatever. Just here is a bunch of stuff actually composed, find a place for it, bye.
Mm. Maybe that's an interesting idea. Creating 20, not, where did I get that number from? 32 tracks, or any other number of tracks you plan on repeating them, and then create the megawatt from that instead. Reverse engineer it, perhaps.
That's an interesting idea.
Yes.
Well, not necessarily, you know, making a megawatt, but just, you know, here's a bunch of tracks, use them at your own disposal, and just see what happens, you know, track identity-wise with them.
Well, yeah,
I think awful thing. Misery.
awful things. Just making good music just to make good music.
Well, oftentimes it seems that with many projects these days, they create the maps first and they think about the music second. And either they'll be lucky enough that someone will come along and create a dedicated soundtrack for it, or they'll go into the bargain bin and pick out tracks from other previous, either the iWork tracks or previous map tracks submitted by other musicians.
That or other games, which is also pretty common.
Yeah. Anyway, are there any other topics that should be discussed here on the front?
I'm full of disgust.
We're full of disgust.
And bad puns, as it so happens.
I wanted to just bring up quickly that I actually met up with Stew Boy in the real world.
In Perth.
Last week, I think. Yes, he was down here for a competition, some description, which he won everything in. So which didn't surprise me really.
Mopped the floor of the opposition.
Wow, that's really impressive.
Yes. He's a percussionist, so he plays timpani and stuff like that. So he was pretty much the best timpanist just at the is that a word, timpanist?
It is now.
He was the best timpanist
this side of Timbuktu.
Jimmy, we're on Tango TV. We have full access to the Alfonso dictionary. If it's not a word, it is now.
get on it, Alfonso. If it's not, if it doesn't mean a person who plays timpani, then invent a definition for the word timpanist.
Sure.
Yeah, but it's the
what now? Sure, inflatable oranges. What do you want me to do?
Oh, that's brilliant. Well done.
Can you have some timpanists with some puzzles?
If that's
the way you're... Dish.
Yeah. Well, okay. I think then that's about it for today.
That's a wrap
of programming. Otherwise, we'll be here for hours. I know we can. We're capable of it.
Yeah. I just wanted to append that Stew Boy is a great musician, and that I think he gets less attention than he deserves. It would be great. I mean, I'm going to say this here so that Doomworld can say this can hear this information. Stew Boy, he's a little bit busy with university at the moment, actually. But it would be great if you could enlist his services as well, because he's so much better a skilled musician than me. So he would be so, and his tracks just stand up on their own really, really well. So there's no shortage of fans in the Doom community, and I will endeavour to actually set up a few more community projects. Centered around music creation. So, yes.
I'm sure everyone will be thankful for it. That was a wonderful slice of humble pie, might I add. Actually, humble timpanist.
Yes.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, I wouldn't go
that far. I am going to go grab food because I'm fuck hungry.
He's fuck hungry, and this has been the Program B episode 6, which was originally indeed intended to be for discussions about Doom 3 and 4, but that'll be next time. Indeed, adieu. Once again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for clicking download. Thanks, goodbye.
Scroll down for screenshots.
No, don't!
Bye-bye.